Glad you're here today. Are you glad you're here today?
Amen.
Some of you came back even knowing what I was going to preach about today.
That's right.
As I warned you last week, some of you are here for the very first, some are here for the very first time, and they're going to hear a pastor talk about, we've been, just so you understand the context, the last 3 weeks, I've been preaching a series of sermons on what it means to be a good steward, good managers of all that God provides for us. And so 2 weeks ago, we kind of started on that. And today's the last sermon in that series. And yes, it just happens to be that today we're going to talk about what it means to give, how we honor God in the things that we give. So I titled this sermon this morning, What If I Give All? And that's based on the scripture that we're going to look at. So it's in Mark chapter 12, just a few short verses. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. So as we go through this, I just want to make a couple disclaimers. Maybe I shouldn't, but you hear a lot. One of the reasons I've heard that people don't go to church is every time I go to church, all they care about is money. I'm just going to tell you, I figured it up. I've been here, we've been here as pastor of this church not even 2 years yet, and in just a little less than 2 years, this will be the second time that I can remember in almost 2 years that I've preached on this subject. So I don't hammer on it. And so we kind of hear those people, well, we go to church and all we hear about, they need money or they want us to give. And it's not necessarily about money. What we're going to talk about today is the heart, okay? What we're going to talk about really today is the heart and being surrendered and being willing to give whatever we can and whatever we feel like God tells us to give. And there's a very interesting story, just a very short story here in these few verses. And in verse 41 of Mark chapter 12, we find this. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. So, Father, I just pray your blessing today on the time we're going to spend together and on your word and use it. I just ask you to use it for your purpose and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not familiar with how the temple worked at that time, when you walked into the temple court, there was an area of the temple court where along the wall they would have almost like offering places where you could put your offering. And that's what people would do. They would come in and they would go around to a place where they would put their offering into these little receptacles kind of on the wall. And it was very common at that time for people who were very wealthy. They would do things right before they put their money into the offering. They would do things to kind of draw attention to themselves, however that would happen, and they would make sure people saw how much money they were putting into the coffers. So they would make it a very public thing because they wanted people to know that they were being very generous and they were putting a lot in. And that's what Jesus, so when it says Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he was watching them, and he was watching how people went about doing what they were doing as they were putting their offering into the temple treasury. And then he sees this widow lady. And very quietly, very privately and unassumingly, she walks up to that offering plate, as we would call it, and she takes out, it says, two very small copper coins. The two coins together, it says, were worth only a fraction of a penny. And she put both those coins in. But it was everything she had. It was everything that she had. So I've kind of titled this sermon, What If I Give All? And you'll kind of see how that fits in at the end with a video that we're going to show. But I mentioned that I don't preach about giving a whole lot, but I want us to understand, first of all, the value of giving. We need to recognize the value of giving and why it's important. You see, all we have to do to recognize how important it is to look in the Bible. I want you to think about this. The Bible talks more about giving than it does heaven or hell. As a matter of fact, you might be interested to know that the Bible mentions giving more than all of these following things. And I didn't count them all up, okay? I'm relying on a lot of research that I've done and some little things that I've found. So here's the thing. The Bible mentions believing approximately 300 times. The Bible mentions praying approximately 400 times. Scripture mentions love approximately 700 times. But it mentions giving approximately 2,000 times in some form or another. So I want us to think about why it's important that we give, and there are a few reasons that you have, and I've tried to list them in your bulletin, mainly so you have the scriptures that go with them. Giving is important for several reasons, and the first one and the most important, I think, is this. Giving makes us more like God. Giving makes us more like God. You say, how in the world do you understand that? Because the most famous verse in all the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16, says this, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave. That means willingly. That means intentionally. That means he offered his son, Jesus, up. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that anyone and everyone who would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God demonstrated to us what it means to give the very best. God demonstrated to us what it means to give that which means the most to us. So first and very simply, giving makes us more like God because God gave the very best that he had, his only son. The second reason giving is important is this. It keeps my heart in the right place. And I told you, I want us to focus on this, so I'm gonna delve into this just a little bit. The importance of the heart. You see, We could give every cent that we own. We could give everything that we actually have, and we could give it to the church or we could give it to God in some way. But if my heart isn't in the right place when I do it, it doesn't matter. So I want us to think about this. Giving keeps my heart in the right place. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, we touched on this last week. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, what's that mean? Where the most important things in my life are, that's where my heart is going to be focused. If money is the most important thing to me in my life, that's where my focus is going to be. If my family is the most important thing to me in my life, that's where my heart or my focus is going to be. If material possessions are the most important thing to me in my life, that's what I'm going to focus on. So here's what he's saying. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The heart's a funny thing, and we have to be careful with matters of the heart. I hear people say in a lot of situations, you ever watch Hallmark? Yes, I do. I admit it. I confess, all right? Not always by choice, but I watch Hallmark Channel. And they get upset with me because especially every time one of those movies comes on, I sit there and tell them about 10 minutes in the movie, I'm telling them who's going to end up with who and how this is all going to turn out. And they say, now, do we do that when you watch all your old cowboy movies? I said, no, but I said, you know, it's just kind of, anyway, I just mess with them. There's an old phrase that we hear a lot, says, just follow your heart. We've all heard it. We've probably all said it. But I want us to think about something here. It's not always good advice. It's not always good advice to tell someone just to follow their heart because you know what? We don't know for sure where their heart is and what their focus is. Listen to what Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You see, the heart can lead us astray. And that's why David prays in Psalm 51:10 that God would create in him a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within him. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 tells us to guard our hearts above all else because everything you do flows from it. So when is it safe just to follow your heart? I can tell you when it's safe to follow your heart. when you know that your heart is seeking and following after the heart of God above all else. You will search for me and you will find me when you seek me with all your what? All your heart. You will search for me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37:4 says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You say, okay, so if I delight myself in the Lord, he's going to give me anything I want, right? No. What it says is he'll give you the desire of your heart, because if you delight yourself in the Lord, that means your heart's in the right place and your heart's trying to follow, you're trying to follow God with your heart anyway, so God is going to help you through that process. And if our heart's in the right place, my desire is going to be for what he wants. And when we desire what God wants for us, then he will give us the desire of our hearts. So giving helps keep my heart in the right place because it helps determine where my priorities are. Giving counteracts materialism. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Tell those who are rich and wealthy not to be arrogant and not to put their hope in their wealth. How many of us know anyone who have put just kind of put all, it seemed like all their hope and all their security is in whatever they own, where their finances are. Maybe it's a stock market. If you're in stock market or annuities or anything like that. Years and years ago, when we were youth pastors in Burlington, Iowa, there was a gentleman and his wife who lived there and were coming to our church. They actually were originally from Naperville, Illinois. Very, very invested and heavily involved in Olivet Nazarene University and stuff. And Al was a pretty wealthy man. But he sat and told me a story one time about how during one of the market crashes, he lost millions of dollars just like that. He said, it was that point in my life I realized just how much stock I put in my wealth, just how much I trusted in my wealth, because he said it drove me to a place where I even contemplated taking my own life. He said it was so dreadful. Now, he says, over the course of time, God has replenished it. He said, I've made most of back. He said, I've been able to make most of what I lost back. But he said, it taught me a very important lesson. I don't put my trust and my hope in my finances or in my wealth or in my material possessions, because they can be gone in a heartbeat. So he tells us, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, tell them to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Don't you think God wants us to enjoy life? I'm not here to preach some prosperity gospel. I don't believe that. I'm not one of those. I'm not going to stand here today and tell you that if you give me $1,000 or you give this church $1,000, God's going to give you $10,000. I'm not going to tell you that because I don't know that. But what Scripture tells us is that if we honor God, he gives us what we need for our enjoyment. So let's not put too much stock in those things we have. You say, is it wrong to have nice things? No, it's not. It's not wrong to have nice things. It's not wrong to have that fishing boat or that ski boat. It's not wrong to have that camper or that RV. It's not wrong to have any of that unless that's our primary motivation in life instead of pleasing God. So we make sure we have all those things in perspective. Giving provides a foundation for eternity. If you go on, 1 Timothy chapter 6, now verses 18 and 19, it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that truly is life. What does that mean? Be generous, to do good. will lay up treasure for ourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that we may be able to take hold of the life that is truly life. You see, if we live this, we can live this entire life down here on earth, and we can be very successful. But if we're not doing whatever we need to do, if we're not putting our trust in Christ, and if we don't know what it is to have a relationship with Him that secures our eternal destiny, we're not living at all. That's not real life. The true life is living life in relationship with Christ so that we can bless Him and be blessed by Him and bless others while we are here. So let's take hold of the life that truly is life, that life that we only find in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Finally, giving allows us to experience God's blessing. Now, here we go. I told you, I'm not one of those prosperity guys, but we need to understand where this is coming from. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Give and it will be given to you." I'm telling you, that's one of the verses that you watch all these guys on television that are really, really rich. This is one of the verses they use to get people to give more money, saying, well, if you do this, God's going to bless you with this. "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." A few weeks ago, I told you a saying that my old district superintendent, Dr. Jack Eystone, used to tell us. He would talk about generosity of the church, and he said the size of the pipe going in determines the size of the pipe going out. Here's the scripture. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Give and it will be given. I don't know what in what context. I'm not saying that today if you put tithe and offering in, I'm not even saying that you're going to get some financial blessing from that, but it might be a blessing in some other way. We just have to be able to watch for that and see how God works. Let me tell you something that happened just, this is Sunday. Let me tell you something happened just Friday. Blend and I were out at the store. We were doing some shopping. Those of you who know us very well know we have a daughter, Emily, who's in school at Olivet Nazarene University. They're getting pretty close to the end of their term. Of course, they're getting ready to register for next semester, and all of her school bill isn't covered by scholarships and stuff. There's still some out-of-pocket, and we owed some money on her school bill. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't very much, really. And I was getting ready. When I went home Friday, I kept reminding myself, I said, when I get home, I need to sit down and make sure I get online and pay the rest of Emily's bill. Now, I had the money to pay it. It would have made things kind of tight. I had the money to pay it. And we could have done it and gotten by. But while we were at the store, I got a text from Emily. She said, "Check your email. I sent you an email." And I said, "Okay." So I checked my email on my phone. I think we only owed like $175 on this bill. Hey, well, that's not very much. No, and like I said, it's really not. But when I opened her email, it was an email from one of her advisors that said she'd been awarded a $200 scholarship for this semester to be applied to her remaining bill this semester. And say, well, that's not a very big deal. I'm like I'm saying, it wasn't life or death, but I'm just going to tell you something. Give and it will be given to you. The other thing I want to tell you, I want to make another clarification here just for the record. I don't preach and ask you to do things I don't do. Every week we write out a check. We write out a tithe check and we put in the offering. Every week. Unless I'm gone. If we're on vacation or something, I try to do it beforehand and leave it here, or I make it up the next week when I come back. And there have been times when I've looked at my bank account balance and I thought, boy, it's going to be kind of sketchy. I don't know. You know, that temptation, oh, well, maybe we'll just put it off till next week, or maybe we won't pay quite as much this week. But you know what? God's been faithful to me. I want to be faithful to Him, and God just keeps showing His faithfulness. I don't know how that looks for you. I don't know how God works in those things for you, but I'm just going to tell you, for us, That was almost $200 that can now be used in some other part of our budget. Why? Because God's looking out. God looks out for us. Her school bill's paid. She can register for next semester. And she has a little bit of a credit starting off next semester. I mean, praise the Lord. A generous man, Proverbs 22:9, a generous man will himself be blessed. So giving allows us to experience God's blessing. Here's the second, if you're following along in your outline, those are some of the reasons for giving, but God has a plan for giving as well, and it involves all of us. We all have an important part to play in giving to God's work, and what you need to understand, I've told our regular congregation before, you know what? The money we have to operate on as a church is simply the money that our people give. We don't have a huge reserve somewhere. We don't get money from our district or our general church or anything like that. It's just we do what we do, the ministries we do. We set a budget, and we try to stay within that budget, but that budget is determined by how much the people of our church give. So that's why I say it involves all of us. God's plan involves all of us. He gives us an opportunity to be involved in His work and His kingdom by giving. One part of God's plan is what we call tithing, and tithing simply means giving back to God what's already His. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says, "All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, and it is holy to the Lord." You see, when I say I'm paying my tithe, I'm saying that incorrectly. When I write out a check every week, what I'm really doing is giving back to God what's already His that He's just let me use. It already belongs to Him. That's Scripture. We tithe first. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 tells us to honor the Lord with our possessions, with the first fruits of all of our increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats with new wine. We should not give God our leftovers. He deserves better. Well, I'll put in some money. I'll put in whatever I can afford after I pay for this and this and this and this. All the tithe of the land. Or it says, give God, honor the Lord with possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. God should be our first priority. We tithe, we believe we tithe where we worship. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? For us, the Church of the Nazarene uses this concept called storehouse tithing. What's that mean? It means I pay my tithe where I go to church. Let me ask you a question. How well would it work for you to go eat lunch at 5:20, but go pay Juan a cup for your lunch that you had at 5:20. It wouldn't work, would it, very well, would it? When we go to a restaurant, we pay the bill where we are. When we come to church, if we're going to tithe, we tithe in the location, in the church where we're coming, where we're a part of the family, where we minister together, where we band together and come together and share in fellowship and worship, and where we receive the benefit of worship and being a part of God's family. That's why we do that. That's why it's called that. And tithing allows God to demonstrate His faithfulness to us. Once again, this is an Old Testament version of what we just read out of Luke. Malachi 3:10 says that if we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I've not found any other place in the Bible referring to anything where God says, test me in this and see if I'm telling you the truth. But that's what He does. Test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. I can't, like I said, I can't tell you what that blessing will look like. But what I can tell you is this, if we are faithful to God, God's going to be faithful to us. He's not going to let us down. You know what? It might be that last minute thing. It might be helping make sure this bill's paid, or it might be, I don't know what it looks like for you. All I know is what Scripture says. And He says, test me. in this. And I think if God is asking us to test him, I think he wants to show us an answer. I think he wants to show us who he is and what he can do. The other part of God's plan for giving is it's simple offerings. We have tithes, those things that come out of our income. We take special offerings once in a while during the year. There's the Easter offering. We do alabaster. I was filling out my report for the district and for the general church this last week. We take alabaster offering. For those of you who are new to our church, alabaster is how we, twice a year, we take a special offering called alabaster. And if you're not familiar with who we are and what our church does, we send that money overseas to help build Christian schools and hospitals and churches and different places where they're opening new works. So it goes into spreading the ministry around the world. You know, for this past year, you gave almost $1,200 just to alabaster. That's pretty incredible. And God will honor you for that. God will honor us for that. So there are different ways of going about this giving thing. But really it all comes back to our heart. And that's why we have to display the right spirit in giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8 tells us that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God promises us to meet our needs and take care of us. We just need to be faithful. So this verse tells us what? It says to give generously. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will reap generously. Tells us to give willingly, not under compulsion. What's that mean? We know what that means. If I don't give, the pastor's going to preach another one of these sermons 2 weeks from now. No, he's not. And this sermon has nothing to do with how much money you've given. Because here's another disclaimer. I don't have any idea how much money you give to this church. At the end of the year, you know, those of you who give, we send out statements. We give you a statement of how much money you've given to the church for your tax purposes. You know how many of those giving statements I see? One. You know whose it is? Ours. I choose, and I've had this practice for years now in ministry, I choose not to look at those statements, because anytime I feel led to preach a sermon like this, I don't want anybody sitting back there thinking, well, we've been looking at the giving records. I'm feeling kind of guilty. I don't have any idea what you give, and I don't want to know. That's between you and God, not between us. So when I say, he says we're not supposed to give under compulsion, that means just because I feel like the preacher's mad at me or something. No, because I don't know. And I do that on purpose. Give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to write out this check again. I don't know what they're going to do with it. If that's the spirit you want to give in, I'm just telling you, it's not the right spirit. You see, giving shows that we trust God with what he's entrusted to us. In this scripture, we see the widow giving all that she had to live on. She gave sacrificially. She gave recklessly. You know what? She gave in a way that I would even call radically. But most of all, she gave out of love and faithfulness for God, and she was confident that she would be taken care of. How else would you ever take the risk of putting every penny you had, every coin, every monetary measure, any part of the money that you have, she put it all in. How else would you do that if you didn't have faith and belief that you were going to be taken care of? What if I did that? Now listen, I want to clarify something here. Now I'm not necessarily talking about giving all your money. I'm talking about our heart. I'm still talking about matters of the heart. What if I did that? What if I gave all? What if I gave everything I had and just surrendered it all to God? What if I would dare have the nerve and the courage to come and say, God, I'm giving you my life, everything about it. I surrender myself totally and completely to you. It's all yours. What if we did that? What if we all gave what we felt God placed on our heart to give? Not just that money, but something even more valuable. See, stewardship is really about surrendering to God. What if we gave ourselves completely, sacrificially, and radically like the widow did with her money? What if I came and said, God, I'm giving you my life no matter where it takes me, no matter where you ask me to go, no matter what you ask me to do. What if I gave it all to him and just trusted him with it? I want you to watch this video as we close the service, and then we're going to have prayer. But if at any time during this video or any point you feel like God would have you to come pray or there's something you need to come pray about, I invite you to do that. But we're gonna watch this video together as we close. What if I give all?
Child, a gift like that. Can
Bow your heads. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to be together in this place today, in your house. Thank you for everyone once again who's chosen to come and be here. And Lord, help us today to be willing to hear your voice speak to us. Do whatever you ask us to do. Give whatever you ask us to give. With a heart that has a desire to serve you and honor you. Bless us as we leave this place, as we go to our homes, as we go throughout this week. Lord, just help us to share your love with someone. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're dismissed.